It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed welcome to the Bluff City Outdoors Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. So happy to be with you, as it is an exciting time to be outside. Fishing is on fire. It's a great time to be taking advantage of the great outdoors, and we're so happy you are here with us. My name is Tony Colombo, in studio with producer Leah, and of course, my partner, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, Mark McMurray. Mark, great to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. So lots to talk about. We did, we missed last week's show, so it's been a couple weeks. And as I mentioned, this is like over the last couple weeks, we've really kicked it into full steam ahead when it comes to fishing
season. Fishing season is on.
Yeah.
You know, it's really kicked up the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So just in general, what are you hearing from folks at the shop there at Bluff City Outdoors, from people, you know, catfishing out on the Mississippi River, bass fishing in local lakes and things like that, just across the board? Is it
it's pretty
red hot?
Yeah. Fishing's really good right now. I mean, they're pretty much, this is, May's usually probably the peak month. I mean, because you got crappie fishing's good, bass fishing's good, bluegill's starting to spawn, starting to go into the beds, catfishing, you know, they'll be getting ready to spawn too. This is the time.
I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I just found a new little spot by my house, which is super exciting. A little park that's got a couple of ponds that look very promising. So I found my little, I can run to spot, you know, like if I don't have time to make a whole day out of a fishing trip or whatever, I can
jump down there for a couple hours.
Yeah, take a 10-minute drive down the road and have a line in the water. You know, I could be in my garage, and then 15 minutes later, I can have a line in the water down the street.
Yeah, that's what you want to find. Everybody should have that.
Yeah, amen. So, and I hadn't really found that yet at my new house. I was still sort of learning the area, and I just found it over the last couple of weeks and have already been out there a couple times. And things definitely look very promising, and it's super exciting time. I wanted to ask you specifically, I should remind folks while we're talking about this, we will, of course, bring you this week's fishing report. You can count on that from us each and every week in the third segment of the show. So just about 40 minutes from now, we will bring you the fishing report for lakes and rivers all over the Missouri and Illinois area. So you can take that with you and kind of be armed with that information for any trips that you are making this weekend or this coming week out on the water. So keep it here for that. Also, we are going to talk to our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. He is our guest this week. He's going to join us in the next segment, and for most of the show, he was in a tournament last weekend with his partner, Gabe, the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and looking forward to hearing Mike talk about what's going on out there in the water, what's working for him, what's not working, what's what are the conditions and all of those sort of things. So we will definitely focus on all of those things as we go through the show today. But Mark, I wanted to ask you specifically about the river, and because this is something, since we started this show now almost over a year ago, now I've learned more about river fishing, particularly river catfishing, than I really had my entire life. And it seems like that is something in our area, because of the access to what we have with Mississippi River and the Missouri River and the confluence and all of these very unique things to our area that fishermen can take advantage of. It seems like that is another area that is just continuing to grow and people are finding out about and taking advantage of. What are you hearing from guys out on the river?
You know, I mean, fishing is good out there. I mean, the catfishing bites really on and stuff, but you know, you're right. There's such a good fishery. It's got just a diverse amount of fish, you know, different types of fish to catch. And as more people find out more and more about it, you know, the fact that they're, you know, go out there and catch walleye and sauger and stuff, mm-hmm. and the white bass and the hybrids. And, you know, a lot of people just don't realize that they're out there too. And they're out there in good numbers. And you just got to get people out there fishing for them. And, like I said, the catfish, you got your fiddlers and the channel cats, perfect eater size, all the way up to the big blues, and there's a lot of flatheads out there, and it's just getting people out there to learn how to catch them, use the right techniques, and get the right equipment.
Yeah, it seems like every year we have a story about a 100-pound plus catfish. I'm sure I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm hoping that we have another great story to tell this year.
Between now and Memorial Day, I suspect one's probably going to get caught that we'll hear about. This is the time.
That's fantastic. And one of the things that you guys offer out at Bluff City Outdoors is if people want to, because I think there can be some intimidation when it comes to the river. If you're not used to fishing on a big river like the Mississippi or the Missouri, I think there can be some intimidation, lack of confidence because, it's a
big body of water.
Yeah.
And it's the current's moving.
Right. It behaves just, differently than a big
up and down. It is. I mean, you got to be able to spend some time out there, but getting a guide is a good way to save years of learning is to go with them.
Yeah.
And just look at how they're having you set up and get rigged up and
rig
up similar. And start finding similar areas like they're taking you to fish, and then you'll be able to go out and do it on your own.
Yeah. So I was going to remind folks that is another service that you can take advantage out of Bluff City Outdoors out there in Alton. Of course, you guys can hook people directly up with.
Yep. And we got a group of guys, and we'll look at and kind of pick what type of fishing they're wanting to do. If they're wanting to go to great big fish, we might hook them up with Jason Mathena. Ryan Casey's really good at getting people on all kinds of fish. So, we'll try to pair you up with somebody really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that pretty much goes for anybody of any experience level. If you've never been on, in fact, that's probably the best time to take advantage of the guided fishing tours. If you don't have a lot of knowledge, you can really get an idea of, the unique preparations and aspects of fishing on a big river.
And you get exposed to the right gear to use, because we see it a lot. People come in, hey, I went and bought this pole at Walmart and went out there and it's busted, and I go, well, that's what happens with that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not the right stuff to be taken out there,
right?
So you gotta have the right gear, and that's what we tell people. I mean, when somebody comes in and once they say, hey, I want a rod, we'll go fish the river, the first thing we'll ask you is what's your budget, because we want you to get the best. If it's $200, we're going to put you in the best $200 setup you can get for, and we're not going to try to sell you a $400 setup. That's just the way we try to identify, okay, what type of gear you want to get. You got to spend about, to get something that's going to hold up and land a big fish, you're going to have to spend about $125 you can get geared up at that level.
Yeah.
And have something that you can go tangle a 40, 50, 60-pound fish.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're talking about current and you're talking about fish that size and that strength.
Heavy current,
you're going to have to have some equipment that can handle that stuff.
You got to have the right stuff. Otherwise, you're going to break it.
How big is the, how much bank fishing gets done on a big river like that? Is that a big part of the fishery? Yeah.
Huge amounts.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know where all these people go fish, but I know some of the guys that boat, they'll go out there and they say, at night, if you're out there on a weekend night or something, it's just, you'll see little, lanterns and campfires just
all over
the
place.
Riverbank everywhere.
Wow.
So a lot of people have access to get out there and, find spots on the river.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely need to take a guide out there that first time, at least that first time, to try to get an understanding of, exactly what to do on a big river like that. Because I've, little rivers, like the Merrimack River, Jack's Fork River, those types of rivers, big river, those, around our area, tons of experience. Smallmouth fishing on the Jack's Fork River is something I've done a lot.
That's fun stuff.
Yeah, that is fun stuff. But that is a totally different monster than fishing in the Missouri River or the Mississippi River.
And a lot of people don't get it, like right here, I mean, you can go right out in front of the arch and catch catfish.
Yeah.
People don't have to get remote. I mean, they're right where the city is. I mean, the river's just full of catfish.
Great stories about when Whitey Herzog was managing the Cardinals, that he had some little secret spot that he knew that he would run to from Busch Stadium. If he had a couple hours, he would go fishing in the Mississippi River. You know,
oh, yeah, I'm sure there was a nook and some spot down there, like
some
said,
spot
there,
downtown there, where he would be fishing.
Get around those barges, those grain elevators where they're unloading grain and stuff like that. It's just there's just a lot of fish there.
Yep. And also, obviously, the focus right now is fishing because it is so red hot and it's just kind of that time of year. But there's still a lot of other stuff going on at Bluff City Outdoors with the archery range being open and shooting every day and leagues and everything. Remind folks about all the new stuff that.
This is like I said, this is kind of the lull season for archery, but I mean it's right around the corner, and yeah, we have a full time 30-yard range. Come in, shoot paper targets, 3D targets, the Techno Hunt system, and come in. I mean, if you need a bow worked on, drop it off, get it fixed now before it gets slammed here in a couple months, and And we got our leagues will be restarting there right after July 4th. So if you're interested in the league, get hold of us and we'll get you on one of those leagues.
Yeah. So just because it's not technically, archery season or bow hunting season right now, that doesn't mean that you can't shoot and enjoy.
Oh yeah.
And have a whole lot of fun there in the archery range at Bluff City Outdoors. It is an absolute blast. I've done it a couple times now. I've had my 12-year-old daughter with me, and she loved it. So, again, you don't have to have a whole lot of experience. Come out, talk to Jeff. He'll set you up and
get you going.
Take advantage of the archery range and the Techno Hunt system out there at Bluff City Outdoors. Keep an eye on everything happening at Bluff City Outdoors by following them on Facebook, Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page, and BluffCityOutdoors.com. Is there any one particular, and this is a question I'm going to ask Mike in a few minutes also, have we identified any of this year's fads or this year's sort of hot lure or bait or anything like that this year? Is there anything that's sort of standing out this year?
Berkeley came out with a craw. I'm trying to think. It was a new craw, very realistic looking.
Yeah.
And then they got a trailer for like chatterbaits. And we've gone through a couple of rounds of inventory on both of those baits.
Nice.
So that's kind of sticking in my mind as something that, that's going pretty good.
Gotcha. Well,
and then a new bait that we put in the shop. And it's an old bait, but it's new. It's the Sheldon's Bream Bug. Those are just flying off the shelf.
Really?
With bluegill season right upon us there. Yeah, it's just, you throw that in the water, it just looks like a cricket.
Yeah,
and,
nice.
And there's 16th, 32nd ounce versions of it, and then just bodies you could just put on a hook and just throw it out there. So we've been seeing a lot of uptick in that bait and people coming back with really good results. Like I said, it's a very old bait, but then a new owners bought it and kind of resetting it and getting it going again. They're based there in Southern Illinois.
Nice, so. Nice. Yeah, love to support those local businesses and products as well, which I know you carry a lot of that stuff out at Bluff City Outdoors. Also, so make sure you check out Bluff City Outdoors about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there in Alton before your next trip out on the water or to the great outdoors in general. And don't go anywhere. We are going to talk to Mike Marfell, professional fisherman. I know he was in a big tournament at the Lake of the Ozarks last weekend. Get a full update from him on what is happening out on the water and hopefully pick up some advice and tips for your next fishing trip as we talk to Mike Marfell and go through the afternoon here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here with producer Leah and Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. And joining us on the line now is our good friend, professional fisherman, Mike Marfell. Mike, appreciate your time today. How's it going?
Going good, buddy. It's a beautiful day down here in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about the tournament that you and Gabe were in at the Lake of the Ozarks last weekend and just kind of pick your brain about some of the things happening out on the water. But it sounds like I don't want to air too much of your personal life on the air, but it sounds like you've got a great weekend planned in the great outdoors in the Midwest on this beautiful weekend.
Yes. If, if you guys in St. Louis have never been down here mountain biking, it's a mecca. There's people from all over the country and the world, in fact, especially since my nephew's coming from Vienna, Austria, to ride. It's like a bucket list place for him. Yeah. So me and a good friend of mine that I used to race hare scrambles with and him are going to poke around on the mountain bikes this weekend. I'm trying not to kill myself. It's a little steeper and a little rockier than it is in Fenton. So we'll see how it goes.
little worse than the geography in Fenton.
Yeah, yes, it's a little different than the Creve Court ride. Yeah, for sure.
That's great.
I'm used to something with a throttle you twist and makes it right. Go. That makes it easier. But
yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
So we were just talking.
But yeah, we had a great tournament last weekend, Tony. It was the weirdest full on spawn that first full moon, and I kept telling Gabe from our practice, it's going to take 22 pounds to win this. Somebody's going to wreck them. The MLF had been there all week and they're picking them off of beds. Mm. So they've been pestered all week. So everything I found on a bed was so spooky. I'm not an expert bed fisherman to begin with. And, so we just fished bedding areas. And Gabe mixed it up with a drop shot, and caught a few, but all the fish that we weighed, I think, were mine off of the jig. And we just blind casting to spawning areas. And the bigger ones we would catch would be marked. You would understand just where you couldn't see the bed in 5-6 foot of water. If conditions were perfect, you could see the bed, but from a distance, you couldn't really see it. Those bigger ones were spawning in that little bit deeper water. So I said it was going to take 22 pounds. It did not come anywhere close. Dion Hibden, the legend from the Lake of the Ozarks, he won it with 17 and some change, like 17.6. Mm-hmm. Me and Gabe were 27th, which was two places out of a check by 0.15 hundredths of a pound.
Wow.
But we're also only 3 pounds from the lead. So one more 5-pounder and we would have been sniffing around the lead. We could have got rid of our smallest 15-incher. So that's how close it was from first to 27th was only a 3-pound difference.
Wow.
So everybody was clogged up right there. Yeah, it was one of those that, you know, could have easily won with one more big fish. We just never, you know, it wasn't from a lack of effort. And amazingly, we caught a bunch. The practice video is going to be awesome. Gabe was catching them on a chug bug in practice. So they're definitely biting that top water over those spawning areas too.
Oh, that's my favorite.
People that don't know, you pester them fish in the shallow water with a popper or a walking bait or even a buzz bait.
Oh my God.
They'll come up and get it.
And
you can cover a lot of water doing that.
It's my absolute favorite way to fish is top water. The buzz bait is one of my go-to. You know, it's kind of like the spinner bait. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you just can kind of throw anywhere and try to catch. Yeah, exactly. And have a lot of confidence with it. So, we were just talking in that first segment. Mark and I were talking about just how red hot it is right now across the board. Bass fishing, catfishing, everything.
Yeah.
So, tell us about, some of the things that you're seeing out there and things that people can take advantage of this time of year to maybe have a really successful trip.
You can absolutely right now catch them on just about however you want to catch them. Me and Gabe went through, at least 25, if not 30 keepers on tournament day and countless short fish. I mean, it was amazing. Just anything in 5 feet or less. But then again, we talked to other guys. There's still some pre-spawn and post, you know, that first wave that spawned on the last full moon. They were post-spawn and they were out in the deeper brush and on the main lake points and secondary points. But that wave that was up there, typically the first full moon in May at Lake of the Ozarks is the biggest wave of spawners. There's a wave before them and there'll be a small wave behind them. But that's generally the biggest wave that comes up. And they'll be there for a while. Probably if you're going down there this weekend and definitely next weekend, they'll be guarding those fry and, good way to catch the big post spawn females that way too, when they're guarding the fry.
Yeah. You mentioned
and
that
mostly that'll be underneath the walkways behind the cables, you know? So Yeah, it's dynamite right now, and about everywhere. Gabe said Southern Illinois is on fire too. My buddy Dave Holm just texted me. His son was at Egypt and got fourth place in Big Bass in a high school tournament. So they caught the snot out of him down there too. So,
well, I know we're gonna get an update on some of those Illinois waterways when we get to the fishing report in the next segment. Something you can count on each and every week here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Is the fishing report. So make sure you are here for that. You mentioned the MLF being down there at the Lake of the Ozarks. But there's a couple questions I have about that. I want to start with just that type of presentation. You know, fishing is obviously one of those, there's a punchline about, watching fishing on television is boring. I don't find it boring, but, that's been something before. But they've kind of figuring out, they're kind of dialing in on a way to kind of make it a sport with, a clock and a little drama and all of that. What do you think of the MLF presentation as a fisherman? Do you think it's a step in the right direction as far as growing
the sport? I do. I mean, this was the MLF. This is the one, the invitationals, they call them, to qualify for the tour. So this one, you actually still bring in your best five. So these are the step down from the big boys. A lot of them are big boys that are trying to requalify to get back to that. So that one that was at the lake is still bringing back to the scales. And boy, they really caught them. And all the guys from up north, Tony, that had never been there, me and Gabe were talking to a lot of them, and they were just so impressed by how well Lake of the Ozarks just kicks out fish. It's just incredible with the amount of tournaments that are there. And those dudes had never seen that many docks before. The guys from Wisconsin and Minnesota and those areas, they're like, holy cow. And then he said, I thought Lake Michigan got rough. There was a harbor hop on Saturday, so you do the math on that. There was a poker run. So the big boats, it was Lake of the Ocean for sure on Saturday.
Mark, it kind of goes.
But MLF is a great, or I mean, it's that is the best format for television, in my opinion. Yeah. When they have the official in the boat. It's made for that. That's kind of what it was made for. I think it's great. I mean, a lot of people don't like it when you can go out and catch a bunch of, somebody's catching a bunch of 1.5 or 2 pounders, but it is what it is. I mean, the guy that catches a 5 and a 6 mixed in there is going to be the guy that wins anyway. Right. I mean, very seldom are you going to just win on a bunch of little fish. So
right.
I like it. I think it's interesting. It makes a lot of drama for television. I know a lot of non-fishermen that are entertained by watching it. So
yeah, it does.
The penalties and all that stuff. Yeah. It just makes it interesting.
Right. And Mark, it kind of goes along with what we were touching on in the first segment. It's just people discovering the Lake of the Ozarks, even the pros discovering the Lake of the Ozarks and how plentiful and successful you can be out there, just like we've talked about in the rivers and stuff.
Yep.
Our area is something that people, it's nationally famous, but it seems to also be growing exponentially as people, find all these waterways.
But it's still underutilized. I mean, really get down to it, we don't have the best river access, compared to some other places where,
La Crosse, for example, Mark, up on the Mississippi. There's so many more tournaments that go out of there because they have all the access and stuff up there. Mm-hmm. And the water's a little cleaner and a little more stable as far as, ups and downs. But, the Mississippi can kick them out too, Mark. And a lot of people don't realize that. Two places on the planet, when I say I go bass fishing, is Lake of the Ozarks. People that aren't fishermen are like, you fish there? That they just think of it as recreation. And then... the Mississippi River. I mean, I've dropped my boat in at Piasaw Creek and, caught 18, 19 pounds right in Piasaw Creek without ever firing the big motor up.
Yep.
So, it's...
People don't... They're there. You just got to get out and fish for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, a lot of people are intimidated by it. Me and you've talked about it before, Mark. It's not the easiest thing to navigate. But they're there. That's for dang sure. And Lake of the Ozarks, I'll hang my hat on. There's more 5-pounders in that lake than just about anywhere else in the country. It's amazing that kind of tournament pressure, and it still kicks out those kind of weights week in and week out.
Yep. So Mike, I want to ask you the same question that I asked Mark in the last segment. Is there anything right now that you are either you personally are using or that you're hearing about that's kind of this year's fad? Does that exist? Sometimes, you know, there is a new bait or an old bait that has a resurgence, a lure that has a resurgence and you know, gets wildly popular. And in some years that doesn't happen. Is that happening this year? And if so, what is the, you know, what are the fad of the year?
Well, there's a couple things. It's hard to compete with the rage of the Alabama rig a few years ago or the rage of the Whopper Plopper from just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But the big swim bait is kind of getting let out from underneath the hat at Lake of the Ozarks. Just a big paddle-tailed, you know, 6 to 8 inch, if not 10 inch swim bait. Especially when those big gizzard shad are spawning, you know, that was funny. Gabe was throwing a smaller one and the gizzard would come up and try to mate with it. There'd just be a ball of gizzard shad binging off his swim bait. But the other thing is the donkey rig. I call
that's
it
not the kind
rig.
Of Mark, attention you want. Another. That's not the kind of attention you want from in the water.
right.
That's the wrong.
I call it a donkey rig, but I don't know what its official name is, but it's two zoom flukes, Mark, with a split, with a swivel and a split ring. And you're basically just, they're soft sided jerk baits, Tony, and you just throw them out and twitch it. And it looks like there's two of them. So when the shad are spawning, you got two of them out there kind of working together and bumping. That's kind of made a resurgence. It was thrown years and years ago and it's kind of made a comeback this year.
Yeah.
And back to what you said, Tony, everybody else throws the A rig and the swim bait, the spinner bait. It's like it's brand new again. Like a lot of people forget about it because all the new stuff.
Yep.
So
it's like the old timers knew what they were doing.
It still works. It works for a reason.
You know, a jitterbug still catches fish. You know? A hoodlopper still catches fish.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Gabe was catching them on the God dang it! What did I just say?
Chugger?
Chug bug. The old head chug bug. Chug bug. I mean, yeah, and just with a feathered treble on the back and just kind of twitch it real quick and then let it set and twitch it real quick and let it set and they'll come up and get it still. I mean, that thing's been around since the 60s and if not sooner. But you're right, Mark, the jitterbug, I don't think any tournament fisherman's ever thrown it, but I'm not sure why, you know,
that thing,
it still catches them too.
It's just a lot of fish. I mean, that was one of my favorite lures just because the way it threw the water, it was a little bit different, you know?
Yeah.
And
especially, I was one of my favorite night baits because it moves so much water. Made a lot of ruckus.
So, Mike, I ask you this kind of question all the time, but I think it's something that people, you know, can file away, especially if they're listening and they're going fishing this weekend. If you are going out in the water, if you were going out on the water right now, you know, in the St. Louis area, in our metro area, and you could only pack three lures. What are the, this time of year, what are your personal go-tos that you're going to make sure that you have with you on your trip that will give you the best chance at success?
That's easy for me. It's a small finesse jig, a shaky head, and probably a drop shot.
And why? Why on each of those?
It's just because they're a little bit finicky around the spawn, so I usually downsize everything. So a little small profile jig and that drop shot works year round, no matter where you're at, 100 foot of water or 4 foot of water, it catches them. And the shaky head, you know, you can downsize that to like a little 4 inch just Senko on the back of it. It looks like it wouldn't catch anything, but for some reason, this time of year around the spawn, they really like it. I mean, it's just, they get a lot of pressure this time of year. I'm out there with my sock cap and cold, you know, all my cold gear on, and now everybody's out there. So sometimes they get a lot of pressure. So sometimes just downsizing everything a little bit is what is the deal right now.
So as we've talked about
a little smaller.
Yeah. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, and as Mark mentioned out at the shop at Bluff City Outdoors, it's, you know, it's go time. I mean, it's like full throttle time to be out on the water. How long does this period, if people want to get out and give themselves the best chance of catching a fish, of having a big day out on the water, how long is this window open? Is it kind of like this throughout the rest of the spring and summer, or if you really want to take advantage of the timing, do you need to get out by a certain date or certain, you know, time range?
Probably from now till June, to beginning first week of June, and then it's still going to be good, but it's going to be good in the first few hours of light and the last few hours before it gets dark.
Yeah.
You can still catch them in the heat of the day, but you know, it's a grind. They get out there deep on those summertime, same place they get in the winter, and the deep stuff or with deep water close by. But yeah, from now until, cause there'll be, like I said, there'll be another wave spawn in early June. It just won't be near as big.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, plus you know what's going to happen once June hits. It's there's everybody in their pontoon boat and ski boat and jet skis, and everybody's out then. So, and they don't get themselves up out of bed that early. So you got the best shot those first few hours in the morning.
That's a great point. What's more,
go ahead.
I was going to say, what's more disruptive or what's more of a hindrance when you're out on the water? Is it that recreation pressure, or is it when it gets super crowded with other fishermen? What's kind of more of a hindrance?
I would say super crowded with more fishermen.
Yeah.
It depends on where you're at. I mean, Lake of the Ozarks, they're used to it. Those fish are used to the music and the boats and the people on the docks. I don't think it bothers
all
the
action
as much. Yeah. But this spring, you know, when they're on their beds and everybody's up there pestering, I think there was the end of the MLF that had been there all week. They ended on Saturday. But on Saturday alone, there was the MLF and six other tournaments that I know of. Several that were a couple hundred boats, other ones that were 50, 60, and some smaller club tournaments going out of all different spots around the lake. And then, of course, our tournament, which was 170 boats on Sunday, and there was probably a couple of their small club tournaments. So that's a lot of pressure on those fish when they're on their beds. I mean, when you can see them, you know what I'm saying? You can get up there and pitch at those ones you can see. They get pretty spooky.
Yeah.
If you can see them, they can see you. So, you know, they get a little tricky to catch when you can actually physically see them. That's why I like to mark the bed where it's at and then come back and fish it, by throwing to your waypoint. Just stay back off of it. Because if you can see them in the super shallow, because the visibility was right around 5 foot where we were fishing on last weekend. So yeah, if you get up there where you can see them, they know you're there, and it's going to make it tough to catch them. Really
so
is.
Before
so
we
you're
take
better
a,
off to stay way back.
Before we take a break and we bring you the fishing report, I wanted to get both of your guys' reaction to the sentence that was handed down this week to the two guys that were caught cheating at the walleye tournament, you know, well covered in the national, in the quote unquote real news, as well as, of course, all of the outdoor news. We've covered this story a lot, but their sentence came down this week, and these two guys were given 10-day jail sentences each. They each have a $2,500 fine. They have a year and a half probation. The one guy has to give back his $100,000 bass boat that he won, and their fishing licenses are suspended for the next 3 years. Mike, does that sound like is that too much? Is that not enough, or is that about right for these guys who were not only now? Let's remember, not only were they caught cheating in this one tournament, which was, you know, was I think $30,000, tens of thousands of dollars of prize money that they're potentially stealing from somebody else, but there's every indication that they've been doing it for years,
a while.
And so we're talking about hundreds of thousands of possible stolen money from these actions. So what do you think? As somebody who, you know, if you were competing and if you were ever in a tournament with one of these guys and maybe lost out on a check because of this type of behavior, you see this happen today, you see this sentence come down, and what do you think? Are you is it good, bad, or
I'm thinking it's kind of light myself. I here's what I would have liked to seen: just banned from tournaments from now until eternity.
Yeah. That seems obvious.
Because I know that a lot of the money that they won was due to cheating. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind. If they were that bold at the end, that means they've been getting away with it for a while, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Giving back the boat, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer because they didn't win the boat.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a no-brainer.
Right.
Suspending the fishing license, that's a start, but how about
lifetime?
How about just you can't fish lifetime from tournaments? You're just done.
Yeah.
We give you some kind of scarlet letter or a headband or something. You're out. You're done.
So, Mark, you agree a little bit?
And then never allow them to make a dime guiding.
Yeah,
never
allow that's a good point. So a little light, you think, too?
The 10 days in jail, I don't know. That's a start. I don't even know if that's that big a deal, but...
You know, I like it as I like that as a good little wake up call. You know, you spend a week and a half in jail and you kind of realize that maybe you really did do something bad.
How do you feel, Mark? I think the one guy was more the kingpin than the other. I think the other guy was going along with it. I think there's the one guy that was kind of the ringleader, I guess you would say. But
a real punishment would have been a lifetime ban from fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they loved. That's what you should have taken from
that's what they were. That's what they
that's
were.
That's how you send a message.
Yeah, so you're saying no fishing license from here till
from here.
Dead.
Yes. Yep. You're done.
Yeah.
Well,
you know they
that's
may.
A good point.
You know they may.
Then they move
that,
on to poaching animals. Probably.
They may not have an official ban, but there could be the old black ball, which I don't think would be surprising or inappropriate. Any tournament going moving forward, even if they do have their licenses back or whatever. That doesn't allow them to participate, I don't think anybody's going to throw a stink about that.
Yeah.
No, I think most people would run them off, don't you? Yeah, I think
so, too. You know, they're probably effectively banned from tournament. But, I mean, you know, taking the fishing part and denying them all of that public water, you know, I mean, if they're going to go fish now, they should have to go fish on a pond where they got a
private,
you know, private spot or something they own.
Yeah.
You know, other than that.
You're right. You're right, Tony. I mean, or Mark, it's like you could self-inflict a ban. Like if those guys show up to enter the tournament, everybody else takes their money and goes home. And eventually the tournament organizations would be like, okay, we got to ban these because nobody's going to participate with these yin yangs involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. So, hopefully it sends a message, Mike, to cheaters across the board. I mean, we don't have enough time to get into this, you know, in depth, but we've talked about it before. You know, not that cheating is out of control in fishing tournaments across the country, but you know, there's always people that are going to try to get that unfair advantage, and hopefully, this sends a message to people that, you know, if you get caught, there's going to be some punishment for it.
Yeah, you put money on the line. People do weird stuff. That's just the bottom line.
That's a fact.
All the ones I've told you, all the ones I've fished, they lie detect. So it's like, you know. I feel
pretty good.
In the two tournament organizations that I fish, cheating is not something I even worry about.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not. I know all the guys and, you know, I mean, I've even called in Tony one time and reported myself to the tournament director. And he said, that's okay. You're good because it was just because I threw the boat on plane, Mark, and forgot to put my kill switch on. And that's a rule.
Oh,
so as soon as I looked down and noticed that I shut it down and called the tournament director, he said, Mike, you called and reported yourself. You're good.
Put your
kill switch on and go to your next spot.
Nice.
So,
there you go. All right, that is.
Most guys are like that.
Yeah, that's Mike. that's Mike Marfell, and he will be with us for another segment here as we will bring you this week's fishing report. And if you are going to be getting out of the water this weekend or this week, get ready to take some notes. We'll get you a full update on the lakes and rivers around the Missouri and Illinois area with this week's fishing report. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1. Here's Tom Castillo. They got your fishing hooks. They got
your dirty books. This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
This whiskey sure tastes fine right now.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. We've got our buddy Mike Marfell on the line with us. I'm Tony Colombo in studio with producer Leah and Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Going to bring you the fishing report here in just a moment. Want to remind you, however, about all the great outdoor activities that are in full swing this time of year. Of course, fishing, but also grilling. What a great time to be out barbecuing. I know that we are doing a whole lot of that at our house right now. And the next time you get out the grill, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, not only a great local product, but also the best product. Rockwood Charcoal has been rated the number one consumer-ranked charcoal in the country 9 years in a row. It is basically, if you've never used Lump Charcoal before, it is just a superior experience across the board to traditional briquettes that you probably used to grilling with. The charcoal burns hotter, it burns faster, it gives you more control. It's just better across the board, and you're supporting local business, and you're supporting local industry. Missouri's the number one charcoal maker in the country, so you're checking all the right boxes, and you can grab a bag of Rockwood charcoal at over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right. We have, because of this time of year and because of how hot it is out there, we've expanded the fishing report to include more
more lakes
in the area. So let's dive right in. Take it away, Mark.
Yep. So first up, we'll go out to Truman Lake, Jordan Lear. Water temps are in the 65 to 69 degrees on average. Crappie, excellent. Fish 5 to 10 feet of water, casting jigs towards the banks and the backs of the creeks and the coves. Pea gravel and chunk rock banks, 45-degree angle banks seem to be the best. Catfish are good, anchoring halfway back up the creeks. The shallow mud flats on the main lake, 5 to 10 feet of water, using a Santee Cooper rig, fresh-cut shad. Bass, good, fish the main lake. Windy banks in the backs of the creeks and the coves. Throw a half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles, 5 to 10 feet of water. Jerk baits in a shad color, Alabama rigs are still working. Some bitter banks working in the creeks as well in the dirtier water, white and chartreuse, and 3-inch bass sliders. Walleye fair, fish the back of the creeks and up the river arms, jerk baits and crappie jigs and sliders. White bass are good, fishing the back of the creeks and the river arms, crappie jigs and white rooster tails. Go up to Mark Twain with Jason Kaiser. He runs Mark Twain Fishing Intel. Water temp is 62 to 72. Crappie, some of the males are starting to move along the banks with some females. The bite has been spotty on finding lots of crappie in one spot, and if you're using a cork, 12 to 18 inches. More females are being caught out deeper into that 5 to 8 feet of water range. 16th ounce jig heads with the blue and chartreuse plastics are working. Bigger rock along the peep gravel banks have been holding crappie in typical spawning patterns. Keep moving until you find them. It hasn't been easy. There are a lot of 7 to 9 inch fish being caught before you catch a decent one. Bass being caught in 4 to 10 feet of water on the secondary points with timber present around the spawning pockets. Jigs, crankbaits, and spinnerbaits are working well. Work the jig and spinnerbait slow, especially around laydowns. There are some post-spawn bass also being caught. Catfish are starting to go shallow. You catch them on the flat mud banks, 2 to 8 feet of water with a rod and reel. Get reports of cut shad for the bait of choice on the limb lines and jugs, fishing around the mouth of the small coves in 15 to 20 feet of water. Run out to Carlisle, Eric Morey. Water temps in the mid-60s. Level is 445.35. Crappie are definitely moving shallow on the rocks in the wood looking to spawn, and the shad are on the rocks spawning. Catfish are on the rocks feeding heavy on those shad. Wren, Fred Mooney. Water temps 66. Level 409.3. Crappie are surging in the buck brush in the laydowns. Minnow and slipcord are very effective. The jig bite is great. Look for the buck brush to be good for a couple more weeks. Several reports of really good catfish biter going out there, too.
Nice.
Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey. Crappie are shallow and spawning and feeding good on moving baits. Largemouths are in spawning patterns as well. Lots of males are being caught. Catfish bite on the Mississippi is hot right now on cut bait. Paddlefish and agon is still really good below Alton. 4 to 12-ounce weights are what they're using. And we'll go up to Shelbyville with Matt England. Lake level is 497.32. Water temp 68 degrees. Crappie fishing on Lake Show is excellent right now. Casting jigs, 4 to 6 feet of water. Fish are moving around a fair amount. He's been using top hat plastics and sliders. And then we go to Southern Illinois Lakes from Gabe Montgomery. Go to Kincaid first. Water temp 70 to 75. Main lake is clear, slightly staying in the creeks. Creek necks. Bass are mostly post-spawn or being caught shallow and around the wood on topwater baits and pitching soft plastics. Look for these post-spawn bass to start moving out deep. Outside the grass lines and the points will be a key. Crappie stand in timber and brush piles, 8 to 12 feet. Bluegill are on the beds. Lake of the Egypt, water temps 72 to 76. Clear on the main lake, slightly stained in the creeks. It's at full pool. Bluegill are spawning on the beds. Great pattern for bass is to locate these bluegill beds and swim a fish jig around them, a frog, a popper, spook, or a wacky rig. Crappie are being relating to the deeper weed edges. Fish the windy side of the lake. Crab Orchard, water temps upper mid-70s, stained, and it's at full pool. Target shallow wood with a swim jig, spinnerbait, and a square bill crankbait, frog and jig to catch those post-spawn bass. Many of these bass are guarding the fry and aggressive. A floating worm or racky wig is another good option. The bluegill are spawning, and the crappie are relating to the brush piles.
And Mike Marfell with Lake of the Ozarks.
Lake of the Ozarks was a little stingy last weekend, but it's only going to get better. The fish are on the beds. You can catch those fish, and I've in, like I said, 3 to 6 foot of water. If you want to try to catch the post spawn fish or some of the pre spawn moving in, that from those, wherever you see those beds, find the first steep bank or secondary point, main lake point from that. Half ounce finesse football jig, a wacky rig, and a topwater. There's going to be a shad spawn going on too, so that topwater is going to play more and more moving forward. And once they start guarding that fry, the same thing Gabe said, wacky worm, floating worm, square bill, they'll get aggressive. So you can move that. And me, I'll still throw the football jig at them and just swim it. And they're going to be getting aggressive. So from here moving forward, it's only going to get better at Lake of the Ozarks. And be safe out there because the big boats are officially out.
Mm-hmm. So. Great stuff. Great stuff, Mike. Really appreciate
that. Topwater's coming, Tony. You better get down
here. Hey, baby, I'm ready to go. I told you I found my little spot by my house. I found a new little spot that I can run to if I get a couple hours on a given day after work or on the weekend. So I'm going to be hitting that and then trying to make some trips down to the Lake of the Ozarks and some other places coming up very, very soon as well. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we expanded this fishing report. So just want to remind folks that every week we bring you this fishing report. Of course, you can listen to us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. here on News Talk STL. But also don't forget to download our podcast. The Bluff City Outdoor Show podcast is available on basically every podcast platform there is. So you can take us with you. And we know a lot of guys do out on the water. You can take the show with you. You can take the fishing report with you. So you're a little bit more prepared for your next fishing trip. Follow more that Mike and his partner Gabe are doing on the 10 Horse Monty, T-I-N, 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Tons of great content there as well. And speaking of our podcast and our show podcast, you can also get that just by following Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook, because that's another place that we post the podcast weekly, and you can keep up with everything that's happening out at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois by following Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook and, of course, BluffCityOutdoors.com. All right, that is going to do it for this week's edition of the show. Thanks again to Mike Marfell for joining us and for producer Leah and Mark McMurray. I'm Tony Colombo. Download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, and tune in next week. We'll see you for another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Happy Mother's Day weekend. I almost forgot.
Yes.
Got it in there at the last second.
Oh, you better not do that. Happy Mother's
Snuck
Day.
Snuck that one in at the very end. Have a great Mother's Day weekend. A happy Mother's Day, Mom. Happy Mother's Day, Christine. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there.
I want to make sure. Happy Mother's Day, Felicia. I love you,
babe. Yeah, that's great. Great stuff. Yeah, we didn't almost forget Mother's Day. Come on, guys. I had it all along.
They won't let us forget it, Tony. They won't let us.
Under control the whole time. Have a great Mother's Day weekend, and we'll see you back here next weekend for another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.